May it please Almighty God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in His holy word. Let us turn to the book of Daniel and chapter 3, and we'll read verse 28. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, and reading verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Well, as we've read together this morning in this third chapter of Daniel, the account of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, I'm sure we found it, and I'm sure all of us, including the young people, found it a very interesting account. And we should recognise that the Lord does grant that there are such accounts recorded in the Word of God to instruct us. They're not just there for a fascinating picture, but they're there for a good reason. And so we might ask ourselves the question this morning, well, what does this account actually, what does it really tell us? Well, of course, there are a number of things that it tells us. And it's good to ponder and to think about these things. We've seen these three godly Hebrews or godly Jewish men who had come, been captured, had come into Babylon, were under the king, and yet the king had put them into a prominent place along with Daniel himself. And now the king had this whim that he wanted everybody to bow down and worship the idol, the image of gold that he had set up. And they were told that if they didn't do this, they would be cast into the burning fiery furnace. So there was a very real and a very solemn punishment to all of those who did not do this. Well, these three godly men clearly worshipped the true God, and therefore did not, in fact, bow down to this idol, this image of gold, which the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And you young people might realize it was very high. It was 60 cubits high, something about 25 meters. So it wasn't a small image. And there it was for everybody to bow down to. And yet these people, these godly men, they did not bow down to it. So, of course, the Chaldeans, they were looking for an excuse, really, to get rid of these Hebrew people who worshipped God. And as you may remember later on in this same book, Daniel himself was put down into the lion's den because he didn't bow down to their gods. Well, here we have this time, and we might say, well, what does it teach us? It teaches us really a testing time. Were they to bow down or were they not to bow down? And you may say, well, what reference does that have to us today? Well, we live in a day which is becoming more and more difficult for us in this world. There are many things today which we would disagree with because they disagree with the Word of God. And we should recognize that we have to already stand out and to testify the things that we stand for, the things which the Bible sets before us as a wonderful example, and not to bow down to the evil laws of sinful men. Well, these men, they had this testing time, and the great blessing was they had faith in their God. They believed in their God. And we're told in the Hebrews that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So these men were blessed with faith in God. And you may think, well, of course, blessed with that faith in God, then God would surely come and God would hear their prayer and God would wonderfully deliver them. Well, as we read in this account, the Lord tested their faith and he enabled them to stand firm for the great and glorious truth of God. And so they were able to speak to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. And they spake and said to the king, O king, live forever. You see, they weren't rude to the king. They acknowledged that he was the king. And they came before him in a right way. And that's good for us to realize today. We should come in those who rule over us in a right way and not just treat them in a wrong and evil way. These men came in a right way the king came and said, in his rage and fury, he commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and he asked and said, is it true? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and dulcimer and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. If they do that, it'll be well. Well, it would have been well with the king, but it wouldn't have been well with God. See the great difference. And it's the same difference we have today. Temptation is very often to please man rather than to please Almighty God. And so he told them, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So he was really laying down a challenge to these three men. Who is the God that can possibly deliver you from this burning fiery furnace? Nebuchadnezzar obviously thought he had everything under his control. Well, these godly men, they answered the king and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. It doesn't mean to say they answered in a wrong way. They answered it in a humble way, but in a true way. And they said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That really is a very wonderful and instructive statement for us. Because what it means is this. These three men, they had faith in God. They believed that God could deliver them. And yet, they also realized that it may not be the will of God to deliver them. And therefore, if they were to be thrown into this burning fiery furnace, they would accept that condition and that situation. Well, we need to ponder these things because obviously there are those times when we may be faced with a difficulty and we know that God will and can deliver us, but we need to submit ourselves to the will of God because we don't know what the outcome will be. These men didn't know what the outcome would be. And yet, of course, there was a very glorious and a very wonderful outcome. And so we can recognize that they feared God and yet were submissive to God's will. You see, sometimes in our lives, we may say, well, I've got a plan, and I want God to work to that plan. And we may pray to God that He would work to that plan. But what we should realize is that we may have a plan, but God has a greater plan, a better plan than our plan. And therefore, to submit ourselves to God's plan. And it may not seem on the face of it to be sensible. On the face of it, it may seem that we are to do all that we possibly can to have our plan to work out, because we think it's a good plan and it will bring honour and glory to God. Whereas, of course, the Lord may have a plan which will bring much more honour and glory to God. And when Solomon wrote the Proverbs, he was well aware of the power of God, and he tells us this in the 29th Proverb and the 25th verse. He says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." And that means if you and I just bow down to the things that men say, whatever they may be, if they're not in accordance with God's will, they will not work out and they may be a snare to us. We need to be very careful in our thoughts, in our prayers, in our desire. But Solomon goes on to say, "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." What a mercy then, if you realize, again, we learn from this wonderful account to be given that faith to trust in the Lord our God. Because the Lord knows the end from the beginning. We can only see in our little lives the immediate now. We can't look into the future. We don't know what the future holds, but God does. And therefore, we may think we're making a big mistake. We may think, well, God is never going to be honored and glorified through it, through this. But God's ways are higher than our ways. And it's a great blessing, therefore, to come and to trust in the Lord. Again, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, well-known verse, really, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." Isn't that good? Isn't that good for us today to think of that? How easily, you know, we weigh things up and we come to our conclusion and our understanding is, well, this must be right and I'm sure it's right and I'll follow that way. It may not be. Trust in the Lord. Leave the issue with Almighty God. Because the Lord has all men's hearts in His hand. The Lord knows what is good. The Lord knows what His purposes are. And what a blessing it is for us, therefore, to remember that. To remember that the ways of God are good and the ways of God are right. And what it really means is that if the way of God is set before us, and it was set before these three men, not to bow down to an idol, not to bow down to that which is wrong. And the Word of God encourages us in such action. In the book of Samuel, we're told, and we should be very thankful, that there are those words in God's book to encourage us. And we're told that Samuel tells us in the first of Samuel, the second chapter, the 30th verse, "Those that honour me, I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." What that really means is we have the will of God set before us. And it may not be to our liking. It may not be to our understanding. It may be too difficult a path for us, and therefore we don't really want to walk in it. We really want to go in our path. We really think our way is far more logical. It is far better. But are we honouring God in that path? It's a great question, isn't it? You know, so often in our lives, there are times of testing. Times of testing. And what it is, it's the trial of our faith. The trial of our faith to see whether we are those who truly follow the path directed to us by Almighty God, or whether we have our own path. Well, so says Samuel, be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. It's a short exhortation, isn't it, really? But it's very easy for us to despise the word of God, to despise the way of God. And we don't want to be, I'm sure, lightly esteemed by Almighty God. It may be so sometimes in our life, in our path. We don't seem to enjoy perhaps the spiritual prosperity that we desire. We don't find ourselves walking close to the Saviour. We don't find ourselves enjoying the love of God in our hearts. Is it because, perhaps in our minds, perhaps in our words, perhaps in our actions, we are indeed not honouring our God? Now, God knows, and you know, whether we are honouring God in our lives. You don't have to look around and ask people. We have the Word of God, which is very clear, and yet it's very wonderful, because it tells us this great truth: they that honour me, I will honour. And God's Word is true. God's Word is true. To prove it, we're called upon to walk it out. It's not just a theory. It's God's Word. And by not walking it out, the effect is that we're really despising God. Despising God. Well, these three men, they didn't despise God. They desired to honour Him. They desired that His great name would be lifted up, and their lives, in one sense, in their view, were as nothing. They were willing to lose their life. They were willing to be burnt in the fiery furnace, so that God's name may be honoured and glorified. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We were thankful these three men did not despise God. And my friends, may you and I not despise God. Let us not despise the way of God. Let us not try and twist God's word to suit our position, to suit our case. Don't forget, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. What a blessing it is then if the Lord God comes to us and controls us and blesses us. And so these three men then told the king what their position was, that they would not obey his command because it was contrary to the word of God. and they would be willing to suffer that which the king had said he would do for them. And so, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And of course, the result of that statement was what we would expect. Nebuchadnezzar was angry. His visage was changed. And therefore, he commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Well, that was an obvious command, and that they should cast these men into the burning fiery furnace. So, these men were not to escape this condition. We need to recognize that. We're not always to escape a difficult situation. We might think, well, God's of course going to hear my prayer. Of course God's going to deliver me. Well, God may deliver us. In fact, we could probably say the Lord will deliver us. But it doesn't mean to say we're not having to go into the furnace like these 3 men did. If they hadn't gone into the furnace, if Nebuchadnezzar's mind had been changed to say, okay, you 3, I understand what you say, carry on and worship your God. You see, there wouldn't have been the wonderful evidence of God's work. There wouldn't have been the wonderful evidence of God's deliverance. No, these men had to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. So therefore, and I don't know what's before any of us, there may be a great difficulty, which may be like a burning fiery furnace. We may want to escape it, but we may not be able to, because our religion has to be thoroughly tested. We might say, as it was in this case, tried in the fire. No doubt, these 3 men's religion was tried in the fire, wasn't it? And so they were taken, they were bound, so they couldn't escape, and thrown into this burning fiery furnace. And as we're told, the furnace was so hot it slew those men that picked them up to throw them into the furnace. And then a miracle happened. And then God appeared in a most remarkable way. A way which would not have occurred, would not have been observed, unless they had been thrown into this fiery furnace. What do we find? We find there. We find this. Submission to the will of God. So what does this account tell us? Submission to God's will. And of course we have a wonderful example of submission, don't we? In the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should never forget that. We have the glorious words which he spoke in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing what was before him, and yet praying to his Father. Total submission. This is what he said. Father, If thou be willing, if it be possible, remove this cup from me, this cup of suffering, this cup of facing all that situation in the judgment hall, and then of course on the cross at Calvary. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This was the blessed example of the Saviour. This was the example of these three men. We might say this, they were made willing in the day of God's power. And God does bring his power to bear in our lives in such circumstances. We may say they are very exceptional. Well, they are exceptional. And we may have exceptional circumstances come into our lives. But you see, it's very wonderful if our lives, by the grace of God, follow the pattern that these three men set before us, and that gracious pattern and glorious pattern of the Saviour Jesus Christ. And so we see these three men then were in this situation, and they were willing to be cast into the burning fiery furnace. Well, when that was so, then the Lord appeared. Then the Lord did wonderful things. And as we read in this account, then Nebuchadnezzar, he was astonished. He rose up in haste and spake and said, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, true, O king. He said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So, what does this teach us today? Surely, if we are conformed to the will of God, to do his will, however hard it may seem, we can believe that the Lord will be with us. Jesus didn't leave his men to themselves. Didn't as though he said, well, you get on with it now. God was with them in the furnace. That's a wonderful blessing. That's a wonderful consolation. Now, to put everything right, it'll mean this. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one can stand against us. And so the Lord came. We might say at the 11th hour, well, it was the 11th hour, but there they were, fell down into the furnace, and the Lord was with them. He no doubt had been with them before, but now there was the evident presence of the Saviour with them. What a blessing for us today. If the Lord comes by His Spirit and we feel His presence with us in the fiery trial. And so He came there and he said, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And so he comes. He speaks then to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Ye servants of the Most High God. What a change. What a change in the way he speaks to them. There is now an acknowledgement that they are the servants of the Most High God. Not their God, but it was their God, but the Most High God. The wonderful demonstration of the wonderful favour and influence that Almighty God can bring into the life of people. And so it was here. He came and said, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. There was then, you see, this wonderful deliverance. God's work had been accomplished. God had brought about what he determined to do. He had delivered them in his way, a very different way to what Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego could ever have envisaged. And the Lord does so today. He still brings deliverances in our lives in a way that we could not have envisaged. Who ever would have thought that these men would have come out of the burning fiery furnace? Who could have ever thought the Lord would have been evident with them in that furnace? And yet it was so. And so we're told, and the princes, governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And if you and I know what that is, you only have to get near to a fire. You only have to, if you're putting any logs on a fire or anything, and put them on, when your hand gets near to the fire, the smell of fire comes upon you. So here there was no smell of fire. What a very clear deliverance. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Well, there was indeed, therefore, a wonderful deliverance. What a good thing it was. We have so many encouraging words in the scriptures to speak to us, and in Micah, that little prophecy in the last chapter, chapter 7, and almost the last verse, we read, Therefore I will look unto the Lord. That's who these men looked to. They didn't look to the king and say, Lord King, have mercy upon us. They looked beyond the king. They look to the Lord. And so what a blessing it is. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Their God had heard them. And my friends, today our God still hears our cry. He does indeed. But let us be very clear. It's not always answering the way that we expect. I suppose we could probably say he very seldom answers in the exact way that we expect. And the reason for that is very clear. The Lord tells us, My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The great purpose for our lives is the honour and glory of God. And God, therefore, brings things to pass in our lives which so clearly demonstrates the power of Almighty God, so that his name is lifted up and his name is glorified. And this King Nebuchadnezzar, well, it's not, in my mind and many people, it's not clear whether this king was a believer or not. But whatever the position, he clearly set forth the truth of God in these words. And he goes on to say, therefore I make a decree, a law, that every people, nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver out of this sort. How true. How true it was. How good that this king was brought to acknowledge it. If it hadn't been brought about by this way, then that verdict would not have been given. But come back to the situation. These men had to go into the burning fiery furnace. Their faith had to be tested. It had to be made very evident that they were trusting in the Lord. It had to be proved very clearly that they were submitting to the will of Almighty God for them. And therefore, as we think of these things, and the Lord knows in the day and age in which we live, we may have to face difficulties which we never thought we would, and yet to be blessed with that trust in the Lord. And as David tells us in the 50th Psalm, he said, he speaks here, the Lord, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and this is very important, and thou shalt glorify me. God brings about deliverances for his honour and for his glory. So if God graciously comes and delivers you, perhaps from the burning fiery furnace, whatever it may be from, don't forget to thank God. Don't forget to praise God. Don't forget to honour and glorify his great and holy name. Yes, this God is a great God. He is a mighty God. Mighty to save. It's a lovely phrase that. I love to speak of it. Mighty to save. He was, in the case here of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, he is mighty to save in all of our lives. It's wonderful. Isaiah, that's where it comes from, in Isaiah 63 and the very first verse, and it's a wonderful statement. Let me read it to you. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. What is it? Of course, it's the words of the Saviour. It's about the Saviour. It's a wonderful statement, isn't it? And we're thankful to know that we have this same mighty God today, because the word tells us Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And he's mighty to save us today, as he was in all those years ago in the life of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. He hasn't lost any of his power. What a mercy that is. And what a blessing it is for us today to realise the power of God. Now these three men, they were cast into the burning fiery furnace. They may have feared. They may have feared. Well, there are many fear nots in the word of God, and we're thankful for it. But there are those times, you may remember that glorious occasion in the life of Peter, James and John, when Jesus was on the earth and he took them up this high mountain and was transfigured before them. And in that transfiguration, Moses and Elijah came and spoke with the Lord about his decease. And we're told that a cloud overshadowed them. And we're told this, that Peter, James and John, they feared to enter into the cloud. But in actual fact, it was a cloud of blessing. These men, it wasn't a cloud, but it was a burning fiery furnace. And it was a time of blessing. So let us not fear, therefore, although at the time we may, to be given faith to trust in the Lord. Because the Lord tells us this. The Apostle Paul tells us, under the influence of the Spirit of God, when he wrote, "For we know," going to Romans, "for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his calling." In the apostle's life, there were many occasions when he suffered greatly, but the Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him. My friends, we live now in 2021, but we have the same God who still delivers. And the same God who teaches us for our profit. You see, when you and I pass through these times, we never forget them. Never forget them. And it proves to us that we're worshipping the true God. We're not worshipping a false God. We're worshipping the true God. The God who lives forever. Bless God when therefore he brings us into situations which, faced with them, we think it's a terrible thing and a difficult thing and an impossible thing. But let us be found trusting in God that there will be a good result. There would be a blessed result. And as I've said, don't forget those words of the apostle, "All things work together for good." All things, he says, not just some things, all things. Trace back our lives. See how it's been worked out. Bless God with faith to believe that in the future it will be worked out for our good and above all things for the honour and glory of Almighty God. Well, this is indeed a wonderful account, and may we think upon it. And it's a very interesting story. It's a very interesting story for you young people. But it's a wonderful account of God's deliverance and of God's mercy. And so may all of us this morning rejoice in it and bless God for it. Amen.